Tony Pantelaresco, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Tony's here the second Monday of every month, and Tony and I are going to get together before the show next month, right, Tony, so we can start on time.
You know what? The thing finally kicked on.
Oh, sure. No, you sound great. We'll stick with this now, but yeah, it's crazy. Your computer has this thing around showtime, and like it knows what it's doing. Maybe Sophia is living in your computer.
The AI is in our computers, and it does monitor us. Okay, I'll give you an example of how you can know if an AI is on your system or monitoring your system. When you're typing a text, whether in Skype or other venues, and you type, and there's nothing that shows, right, or shows, and there all of a sudden the type that you put in there, all of a sudden it forms. The sentence that you typed in forms about 10 seconds later. You know your system is being monitored. If your system starts to flicker on and off and you're having problems hooking up, and like I was having this morning, you know your system is being monitored. And what's happening is the AI is studying you through your computer to see what reactions you are going to do so that it can record this in its database so that when it's dealing with you, it knows how to deal with you. And as far-fetched as that sounds, if you listen to the YouTube on Sophia, she tells you exactly the same thing. She wants to learn by being with people because the systems do things to people to get a response. I've said on other shows, if you're on a computer and all of a sudden from the right side of your brain you are getting thoughts of anxiety, fear, violence, any kind of negative heartbreaks, whatever, that's called data mining, and your brain is being data mined to see those memories and what causes these things, what would have caused these things to occur. If you're getting something hit on the left side where you're hearing some pleasant music, TV shows, seduction, sex, food, whatever, the pleasantries of life. Okay, again, that's also data mined. It's being gone. Again, it's learning about seduction. It's learning about intimidation. The other thing you'll get sometimes in the middle of your head, forehead, you'll see people that you know or recognize, and all of a sudden there's all kinds of distortions going on. Basically, it's a type of confusion that is, again, data mining. This is how it studies you through the system. And then, you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden a piece of music pops in. You don't have any radio on, nothing on to draw anything. All of a sudden things are starting to pop in your head, music that you can't get out of your head that's being drummed in day in and day out. Again, this is coming from frequency, and it's coming from this source. So when you're thinking about these things, and some of you might say, well, you're a little crazy there, you're a little out there, and that's fine, too. I know I'm a little out there. I'm way out there, actually. You may want to observe this when this transpires.
Okay, Tony P., here's a couple ideas for a little privacy thing. There's several websites. You can go to DuckDuckGo and StartPage, and they are private. You can also get a virtual private network IP address, and I think you might get one about $7 a month, and that kind of protects you a little bit from Sophia until she probably cracks the code on those things. But those are some things you can play with. On the Epsom salts, I've noticed that around like at the HEB and also even Walgreens, that they want to keep adding all yuck stuff to these Epsom salts. I don't know what this is about. There's some kind of weird, they call them essential oils, but I don't know what they are, and I don't like the way it smells. It's yucky. I found one place, and these are millions of them around this United States called dollar stores. We have one on our highway here, and you can get a really nice pure Epsom salts, really cheap, really inexpensive. Get yourself 12 bags of them, stock them up. It's hard to find pure Epsom salts anymore. They want to put all these flavorings and stuff in them. I don't know what it's about. It's nuts.
So I always tell people, go direct and buy in bulk.
Oh, okay? Yeah. You can go on Amazon and get a 25-pound bag. I've purchased those before. But
you can also look at chemical companies that where the stuff's coming from anyway.
Yeah, you can buy a 50-pound bag, I guess, couldn't you?
People always ask me this question all the time. What vitamins should I be getting? And I tell people all the time, if I make my own now, because there's so much excipient crap in so many of them, the ones that I used to use, I quit using because of that reason. So I tell people to either go to Pure Bulk or Peak Nutrition, because you can buy a lot of these things in a bulk and make your own stuff And if you want to add baking soda in the pill, say, for instance, you got a couple of things that have a acid content to them, like pentotenic acid, which is B5, okay? So,
sure.
Or nicotinic acid, which is basically your B3. Well, if you put them together, they may react. But if you put a little baking soda in there, or even an Epsom salt, if you want to put an Epsom salt, it will neutralize the activity until moisture hits it. Once moisture hits it, then it will activate it. This is one way you can put your own safe excipient in there, which is actually going to work with whatever you're taking, because the salt will deliver it as well. So these are things I tell people all the time. Start buying things in bulk. Go to the chemical stores. There's NOAA Technologies in Texas you can go to. There's chemicalstore.com. You know, there's...
I'm on chemicalstore.com right now, and they have, let's see here, boy. They have a 50-pound bag for $94. Is it?
That's a little pricey.
Yeah, so that is a little. That's what, $2 a pound, huh, Tony? I think you can get a better deal than that.
Sometimes you can go to the farm supply place.
Yeah.
There.
Even at the dollar store, I pay 80 cents for a pound.
Awesome. Yeah. You can get it that way, too. I mean, I'm just saying.
Sure, but, well, yeah.
You might want to start buying things in bulk, because sooner or later, they're going to compromise a lot of the things that we're doing now. But they're always trying to be one step ahead of the game with the regulations and whatnot. And like I said, I go into a health food store now, and I read the brands I used to buy, like Gero and Solgar and Solaray. And
yeah, you
now,
don't even know who owns them now. The companies own them.
You know. I mean, when you're reading, I read now is probably one of the better ones out there, believe it or not.
Yeah, Now is still a pretty good brand. We like Now products. They're good.
The ones out there, you still have to read, because sometimes they put some crap in some of their stuff, too.
Sure.
But for the most part, they're better than Solgar.
Yeah.
By hands down, they're better than Countrywide, hands down.
I agree.
Gero used to be a top-notch company. I wouldn't waste my time with any of their stuff these days, unless it's a pure product that doesn't have anything, because they got more crap in their stuff than some of the pharmaceutical companies.
I'll be doing, yeah. Yeah, Now's a pretty good one. It's a good one to start with. And okay, Tony, this is a good one for you. Kindly give a thorough review, as to why fanatic vegan parents are doing their 14-year-old daughters with emotional problems a great injustice by depriving said daughter of many vital nutrient factors during the years of rapid growth. From Eric, he's got this going on in his family.
You got to remember, a lot of this has been brainwashing. Back in the 60s and 70s, everyone was becoming anti-establishment.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be anti-establishment, you quit eating meat. The reason why the hippie movement at that time, they were the ones protesting the war in Vietnam. They were the ones that initiated the soy. They were the ones that came up with this whole anti-establishment eating soy. Then up the way, they came up with this horse hockey, the benefits of soy, and all the nonsense that went with it. The FDA had already, from the beginning, the turn of the century, from early 1900s to 1956, 55, had already over 200 some odd studies about soy and how dangerous it was. And I mean, when they gave vegetable oil, which was basically soy-based, to cows, the cows had their stomachs started to hemorrhage. And as time went on, they started propagating soy as a panaceic food. They even had to change the standard of measurement on the protein. They gave it what they call a PDCAA, which was about as useless as three things on a bull, and they didn't amount to anything. The actual profile of soy was so poor as far as absorption and uptake, even when combined with rice, which would have made it a more complete protein, both of them have such high levels of phytate activity that you can't absorb the protein properly. So they sold these things in the health food industry with this nonsense about how you weren't killing animals and it was cleaner for the environment and it was going to protect you from cancers, especially if you're a woman. You know, you eat the soy, it's going to protect the Chinese. The Japanese ate soy and they didn't get cancers, and they found out later it wasn't the soy that didn't stop the cancer, it was the iodine they were consuming, and the soy was actually propagating the cancers. And then they came out with something called iproflavone, which was a soy derivative, which was supposed to help women's bone density, and it was supposed to, and it actually made them worse, it actually weakened their bone density. So they got caught up on the brainwashing and the stupidity about this whole vegan thing, and they are just following their religious or their cultic belief system with no scientific merit whatsoever. And you got a lot of vegans like this. They don't really research anything. they read something on Google, they follow a guru that's propagating some lunacy, and then when they get on it, usually between 3 and 5 years, they come crawling through my door. They look like they've been through World War V, you know, and they're dying, a lot of them. And I've had a lot of them die, commit suicide, because the zinc levels have become so depleted in the body, and they start not hallucinating, but contemplating things that, you know, would not normally happen. Even the B3 levels start going down. And these are two of the main brain, some of the main brain nutrients your brain needs for stability. So I've had them where they even committed suicide. So it's I don't see any merit to it other than short-term use for cleansing the body for 3 months and then going back to something more normal. If you want to be a vegetarian, that's different, because at least you're now getting a dairy source in your system. Some do eat poultry and fish. They're not. They're just not eating red meat.
Yeah, that's, you could do some raw cheeses and cream or what is stuff like that, right?
Some of them will eat eggs too.
Yeah, eggs, sure.
I mean, you're getting the balance of the equation, whereas vegans are just so off the lunch and so far off the scale, you know. And they break down. Initially, they look good. You know, you see, oh yeah, I seen this girl. She looks so good. And then look at her about a year and a half later. She looks like she's aged about 50 years, you know, because her body's not getting whatever. Hair looks like straw most of the time. Skin doesn't look that good. And they're not all there, you know. And they're extremely, majority of them are overly irrational. And that's because the copper levels are down, the zinc levels are down, the B3 levels are down, you know. And these are very, very key for mental stability. So, again, what's going on there? Stupidity to the nth degree.
That's okay. This comes under the category that you just can't make this stuff up. This out this morning. Department of Homeland Security planning to conduct a chemical biological test near the border between Kansas and Oklahoma. It's going to be a low-level outdoor release. Titanium dioxide, which they describe as a white odorless powder that is chemically insoluble in water, non-reactive and non-flammable and non-hazardous. Also, they're going to release a gentle or generic barcoded spores of an insecticide sold in the name of Dipel. Dipel is not considered hazardous by the Environmental Protection Agency when handled appropriately, according to the assessment. Oh, that's great.
Well, basically, what they're going to do now in those two states is castrate the male.
Well, titanium dioxide. Wow, what is that? What would that do if you breathe that stuff in?
You're castrating the males.
Oh, good. Well, the birth rate, you know.
Testicles. That's what it does. It shreds the tubes and the vessels in the testicles. Yeah, this is what I laugh about this, because we've got so much stuff already on the soil that's been there and been put there for 50 years. You know, when they say that it's environmentally safe, define the term safe to me, because we've got atrazine in the soil. We've got glyphosate that takes, you know, that have been layered, not just put on, layered for decades, okay? And each time you put a coat on it, that takes 7 years to break down. So explain to me what happens now when I put this Dipel with this titanium dioxide in a soil loaded with atrazine and glyphosates and other pesticides have already been put there, or other fertilizing agents have already been put there, what is that chemical mix going to do with what's already there? This is what none of these guys refer to, just like that guy that goofed David Keith. He was going to dump in 3 more chemicals up into the atmosphere just to see what they would do. Now, they don't even know, they right now do not have a clue what is up in our atmosphere, because, again, after five and a half decades of dumping stuff into the air, the chemicals have mixed, have changed, have altered. We got stuff up there right now, and they are stating this. It's not even on the periodic table. So we have absolutely no idea anymore what volume of things are up there. And then I just got an email about 2 weeks ago in Spain. They found they've got this radioactive material now floating around called Rhesonium-108. Now, that must have came from Russia when they burnt the radioactive stockpiles off the coast or the border of Ukraine. That has finally made it across Europe. So that's another added feature that we don't know about, what all these radioactive materials that we're putting into the atmosphere. You know, the coal producing companies were doing this first. They were putting radionucleotides into the atmosphere. Now we got all this stuff, the strontium and the thorium and the uranium and the plutonium and whatever else they've been dumping into the atmosphere that we're not aware of.
You know,
anything we throw into the ground now, we can't say it's environmentally safe because the environment's already been toxified. And so what is this going to do with those toxins?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what Tony's describing is what also goes on in the human body with medicines, and they call it stacking. And, you know, what they do is they give you, this pharmaceutical, and then 6 months later, oh, well, why don't you take this, and then you take this. And there's actually obviously no way that they could tell with this stacking of different meds how they're interacting with each other. It's very dangerous. It's crazy.
I had a situation years ago where a guy was retired, and they had him on 20 different meds.
Wow.
So I did the research on the meds. He died, and so I knew the family, so they asked me to look at the pharmacopoeia.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them, I said, I don't believe this. I said, see these 10 here? He said, yeah, these 10 had these side effects. And see these 10 here? He says, yes, they had their side effects. And these chemicals here interacted with each other, made those effects even more powerful. And I says, and then I asked him, what did he die of? Because I said, according to this, this is what should have killed him. That's what killed him. The effects of the pharmaceuticals. So, yeah, this stacking is crazy. Even that same thing goes on in the health food industry. Using anabolic steroids, for instance, and they're stacking the steroids.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's causing all kinds of mayhem with a lot of them, in the liver and the kidney area especially. So people stack their vitamins. Now, again, you can stack them if you know how they are synergized and how they work. For instance, you don't want to take vitamin C and ginseng at the same time. They're antagonistic, and they will, again, neutralize each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can take them 2 to 4 hours apart, no problem. Now, you may want to take, for instance, B1 with sulfur, because when you put those two together, they amplify each other.
Yes.
So that's how, if you're going to stack your vitamins, that's how you want to stack them, where they're in a synergy, not in, antagonistic.
You had mentioned a couple weeks ago, or a couple shows ago, you could do a little B1, a little sulfur, maybe 5 times a day to increase circulation. And I've been playing around with that a little bit. And I think there's something to that. I'm always interested in getting more circulation. Nothing wrong with mine, but circulation is key, boy, if you want to keep things moving.
Well, a lot of times what's happening, that formula there is basically to repair and restore the proteins and the sugars.
Like if you have any numbness or anything like that.
Or burning sensation, because of the damage from what they call glycation or sugar damage.
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, a lot of times it seems to work for a lot of people. Sometimes they add an enzyme with it because sometimes they have a lot of... again, debris, for lack of a better term, because that's what it is. Majority of the time, what we're dealing with is debris, broken tissues, broken cells, saturations of toxic metals, saturation of poisonous chemicals, and it creates a debris field in the body.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Tony Pantelaresco, sorry, Tony, we got to do a little break here and wrap it up and get to these emails before we go. Patrick Timpone, RadioNetwork.com. We're having some really, really fun results with this far infrared sauna. I've been doing it every day, probably, I don't know, well, maybe 6 out of 7 days, over 6 months, 8 months, feeling better and better. As long as you get enough water, get your electrolytes, and, I do plenty of salt. Sometimes I'll just do a quarter teaspoon of good sea salt before I go in, and I can't tell you what the energetics of sweating like this does for you regularly. It's really powerful. You can go run in. I do a cold shower afterwards. Sometimes I'll put castor oil all over my tummy and colon and everything. They're doing all fine, but castor oil is very powerful when you heat it up. Keep my head out if you want to. Every now and then you can duck in for 5 minutes. And just detox. Well, the thyroid is underneath there anyway, with your head out. These are individual units. These units are built in Taiwan Medical University. Very far superior technology, in our opinion, to all of these wooden ones. This uses a nylon kind of thing with silver on the outside. The rays bounce around, but this temperature gets to about 170 or so. 160, man, you'll sweat like there's no tomorrow. They no plumbing. You just plug them in. You rock and roll. If you live in Europe or Australia, we ship directly from the factory to you with the 220-volt thing with the proper plug. It's not as expensive as you think. We a couple $100 and we'll get one to you if you live in the UK. You live in anywhere in EU. We've shipped them to Japan. We've shipped them all over the world. So don't let that stop you. And now, don't just order this sauna. Email me and I'll give you a deal. I got some leeway to give you a better deal than the $11.95. So if you want to get one, email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Tell me where you live and I'll give you a price and get you one of these saunas. And yeah, you'll use this for a long, long time and you'll enjoy it. And I think your health will be better for it.
Previously with Dr. Ross Stewart, who just kind of came up with this, telling about how he works with people and their neurotransmitters.
How do we produce sufficient amounts of glutathione in the liver, which of course is a big filter for all the blood, pulling half-spent hormones, waste, dead cells, and other toxins out of the blood? The higher the level of glutathione, the longer a person is going to live and the better their blood is. And I'm glad you're doing a sulfur product. Once you start getting any of these kinds of symptoms, all the way from autism, all the way through Parkinson's, you can't get enough sulfur from eating broccoli and kale and cauliflower and garlic and onions. You can't get enough. You need to supplement it.
Well, the information just keeps on coming with sulfur. The sulfur that we promote is 99.97% pure. No additives, no excipients. Just click an order on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
With prevalent economic uncertainty in the United States economy, many investors are looking for safe havens to protect their wealth. One of the best historic investments in the United States has been the acquisition of physical American gold and silver coins. From the 1790s to the 1930s, the United States government issued American money in the form of gold and silver coins available to the general public. You can reach us at SDL Numismatics at 1-800-878-2646. We'll be happy to educate investors on how to acquire American gold and silver coins. Call us today, 1-800-878-2646.
Every Wednesday, we continue our study with currency historian, good friend of 25 years, Andrew Goss. And we talk about everything from gold, silver, Bitcoin, quantitative easing, how the money game works, the Federal Reserve, the IMF, the Bank of International Settlements, you know, where the bodies are buried, how to protect yourself, credit, how to use credit wisely, interest rates for your home, all kinds of things. It's a cool show, one of my favorite days of the week because it's the bomb. It's really cool. And that's The Real World of Money. Andrew Goss, he buys and sells gold coins for a living. If you'd like to get involved with numismatics, we think it's a better choice than just, you know, a 10-ounce bar of silver or something like that. It's just far more protected from everything, much more liquid than the bars and bricks and stuff like that. And you have the numismatic value as well as the gold and silver content, which we believe, I mean, ongoing with all the way fiat currencies are going now, all the, as Tony mentioned and we've talked about, all the countries are going to be changing all of their currencies over. Now they're just digital now, right? They're just little digits in your bank account. They're nothing there but digits that they create on a computer. Now it's going to be the blockchain thing too, which is going to make it even more easy to take more and more paper out and do more blockchain technology. And buying everything with little chips in your head or in your finger with your cell phones, and you won't even see any paper dollars, in our opinion, you know, 3 or 4 years from now. It's not going to be there. So it's much, much easier to control the monetary system when you have everything digital, because who knows? It's just a lot easier, and that's where they've been going for years, and you can see it happening more and more. So gold and silver, and the shortest story is a long-term hedge against these things to kind of stack away, you know, bury them in your backyard. And the value of this cannot be neutered. It just can't be neutered. They try to, you know, control the price of gold, and they do, but it's just... when it's a real thing, you just can't bang it down to zero. It's not going to happen. So that's a good way. 800-468-2646. 800-468-2646. Long-term protecting your wealth is gold and silver.
Know the source.
The source.
OneRadioNetwork.com.
Little one, little love, little hands, look how they hold the world. Oh, stay a while, little smile, little eyes, soon they will know the world. But there's no rush in getting older, no use in wishing to be young. Live every part of it, you're at the heart of it, little one.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Well, we're going to talk about fasting tomorrow. Really interesting fellow out of Canada, Gino. Dry fasting, liquid fasting. He's got some wild stories, some things that he's worked with people. That'll be tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Here's an email from Patricia. It looks like she's in Venezuela. Wow. Can you ask Tony what he thinks about eating almond bread?
If you can handle it, it doesn't dry out your colon. Some people can handle it. Nuts and stuff like that, even in a bread form, can cause a dehydration of the colon. So, again, be aware of that. I mean, I don't have a problem with it if you want to go that route, but be aware that that can happen. Hey, I got something I want to read you real quick.
Okay.
Somebody sent me this while we were during the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
University of Maryland Medical Center says that prolonged use of silica supplements in any form is not recommended. Severe kidney trouble may occur after prolonged use. Kidney stones have been reported in people taking silica supplements, which may be due to the building of silica in the body since only a small amount is needed for the body to function properly. Also, general kidney deterioration, which is irreversible, will eventually occur with the excess silica in your system. And I've been saying for the longest time not to even use it because, again, you can't even break it down. And this is, again, some of the hype that this industry will tell you that it doesn't get caught up in the bloodstream, but it does, again, bypass the colon and gets inside the colon.
Why do people take silica? I've never really heard silica.
Yeah, silica, again, because it's been covered over. I mean, the research that was done in the 60s and the genetic damage that it was causing, they basically shut that off very quickly, and they use it as a in the industry as a means to clean the gut, clean the colon.
Oh.
It's a nanosilica is what it is, and it does bypass and gets through the colon, does perforate it, gets attached to the cells, and then shuts down cellular communication. And then it attaches itself to the skeletal structure and it starts to assemble everywhere.
Why do people take silica? I don't...
They'll either use dimatic earth. Just about every vitamin you're buying today has it in it. Go ahead.
You mean silicone dioxide, that one?
I'm sorry?
Silicone dioxide?
Silicone dioxide, yeah.
So that's silica.
That's your dimatic earth that they're putting in there. That's the drying agent or the binding agent they're using for some of these pills. It's toxic as all get out. And when you are consuming these things over a period of time, you start seeing the damage. I've looked at some of the skeletal damage that I deal with. As soon as I get them off of this stuff and we clear them up of this, because this stuff is very hard to get out of the body too, they start seeing results. They start feeling a lot better, less pain.
Curious.
This has been another one of these products that they put into the market that should never have been there. And the research on it was buried very quickly because they were going to initially put it with livestock. They do spray it in the fields. They use it as an insecticide. They use it in the storage facilities along with sulfuryl fluoride. You know, so you're getting a lot of this without you even being aware of it. And then when you're going to a health food store, like I said, it's the mecca of health is you go to a health food store because it's supposed to have the things that are going to be healthy. But when you start reading the labels and you start understanding what these excipients are doing, anything that has OSE added, microcrystalline cellulose, hypercarmylose, all those polymer binders actually cause problems in the system. And then when you add the silica content to it, it causes more mayhem. When Coca-Cola came on the air and stated that the magnesium stearate was a problem, this was such a pile of rubbish that I couldn't get over that somebody of this ignorance would come out there with that kind of comment, because magnesium stearate, the body uses magnesium stearate. Stearic acid and magnesium is used by the heart. So I don't
So
see
magnesium stearate in supplements are okay?
They're safe, okay. But when it's combined with these other excipients, that's the problem, is those other excipients. So like I said, when I hear things like that, you have no idea of my reactions sometimes with some of these people and what I would say to them if they were face-to-face. But some of the stuff is just pure hijacking. And again, this is we've all been under the assumptions of some of these things without actually having to look at these things. And I've got the research on my site, too. If you want to go and look at the actual documentation on silica, go look at the nanotransformations link, click on it, and it'll take you to a page. And in there, you'll see a whole PDF document that was done back in the 60s that again, as soon as they put it out there, they tell you they buried it right away. They show you all the wonderful problems that it can cause. And one of the biggest problems it was causing was genetic damage. So, again, when that was introduced into the grains, because that's where they put it in initially, and all the breads and all the bread products, cakes, cookies, and all that stuff, within 10 years, this is when you had the lupus, the restless leg, the autoimmune disorders started to occur within a decade after they implemented this into the food supply.
Okay.
So,
all right. Tony Pantel, let's go, Patrick Timpone. Tony's on the second Monday of every month on our radio network. We broadcast live every morning, 9 to 11 o'clock. It's oneradionetwork.com. You can always reach me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Brittany says, what is Tony's thoughts on copper water bottles? I know he's a copper advocate. Are these a smart addition? Certainly they're beautiful, said to be somewhat antimicrobial. Also, when you recommend Jensen's chlorophyll, what amount or type of zinc does Tony suggest to balance the copper in this supplement?
Usually I'll use a zinc methionine, zinc cysteine, or zinc citrate. The first two are bound with a sulfur, the second one is bound with an acid or zinc ascorbate. I'm looking at zinc chloride, that's the next one I'm going to be looking at. But any of those will work well. 30 milligrams, usually, if you can find one at 30 milligrams, because sometimes that's very hard to find anymore. Sometimes they're getting up as high as 50.
Okay, what about the copper water bottles?
That works good, yeah.
Does it work good? Yeah, I know that it's a very old Ayurveda idea.
Yeah, what you would do with that is you would heat up your water and then put it in the copper container and let it sit overnight, and it'll cool off. And then what happens is the heat from the water will actually allow some of the some of the molecules of the copper to get into the water, so you'll get copper water that way. It'll be very low, very mild. But it is. It's a very powerful biocide. It's one of the better ones. I prefer it over silver. I think it's far superior to silver as a biocidal effects as far as healing the body. Your body does need copper. It doesn't need silver. I don't knock silver. I do think it has its place, but not as a first resort and not for daily use.
Okay. Tony suggested using nutrobiotic essential electrolytes for those of us on RO water. How many capsules per cup of bottle of water, or per cup, or 750 milliliters of bottle of water?
Okay, what are you doing during the day? I mean, that's all going to be relative to your lifestyle. You know, if you're inactive, I mean, you could probably get away with one or two capsules. If you're very active, then you're going to need more. I mean, that's a hard one to determine. I mean, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're living or what you're really up about. I mean, you can best determine that by yourself. If you're taking a certain amount of the minerals and you're feeling great, that's wonderful. If you're feeling a little bit, straining, then you might be taking too much. If you're not feeling anything, if you're not getting any endurance or any strength or any whatever, you may need to take more. So this is some of the ways you can gauge. It's not the most accurate way, but it's basically a guideline for you. It's all going to be determined. A lot of this is determined, by how you live, what environment you're in, what you're eating, So, again, the factors you got to take into consideration.
Okay. Ashley writes in a quick question about the respiratory solution with Youngin. Tony was talking about the solution I heard him mentioned on a previous show. Was making an extract with alcohol and the onion. Is that accurate, or do you just juice the onion on its own?
You can go either way. There's many variations to this. The onion, the alcohol will actually preserve it and allow it for even better penetration, but you can just use the onion juice and that on its own. Either way, the alcohol I usually put in there for stability and for uptake, you know, for a quicker utilization. So these things can be altered and they can be modified and improved upon. You know, I always say that. You know, I'm just giving you a small little window on how to do things. So, you know, you can add the alcohol. I personally put the alcohol in mine. There are some people who can't handle alcohol, either for whether they don't have the gene to be able to handle it or because of their personal beliefs, they don't use it. So either way, you can go. The alcohol does work more efficiently and more effectively getting it into the system.
Okay. Tony makes his own selenium liposome. I spent the weekend trying to find the recipe for one. How does he make it? I bet lots of people would try it.
I buy the selenomethionine in bulk or sodium selenite. Again, you can get those at a lot of your chemical stores. To get the sodium selenite can be a problem. If you're not in a market or don't have a license, they may not sell it to you. But the selenomethionine you should be able to get. You can go online. You can, like I said, contact chemical companies. You can contact Asian chemical companies if you have to. Basically, I just portion off what I want to use or the strength I want to take. A friend of mine in New Jersey, and a colleague friend, he sent me a research study on the Revici, and the guy was using up to 750 milligrams of selenium, and they tell you it's toxic beyond a certain point, but he fused it in an oil, created a liposome, and they were giving it to people that were severely infected with different types of STDs, and he was curing all of them.
How do you make this liposome thing?
Basically, just portion out whatever selenium you want to take, what you want to figure out. I may put 1 gram, or not 1 gram, 5 grams or a teaspoon of it in there, and the rest I'll add the selenium powder, add a little glycerin to it, and I'll add the water, fuse it, and blend it up, fuse it, and then based on the measurements, when I take my teaspoon or quarter teaspoon, I can see exactly how much I'm taking.
So you mean, what makes it a liposome? I kind of lost you there.
Sunflower lecithin.
Oh, the sunflower lecithin.
Yeah, you're mixing it in a powder to mix it up, and then when you add the water to it, it causes the fat cells to, you know.
Right. So I missed the sunflower lecithin part. You go pretty quick. Okay. You don't need to do the electrolysis thing like we were doing for a while a few years ago. You just mix it up and it works.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what? There was something about that I just saw
we had a fellow on the show that was teaching people how to buy these little units, Tony, where you clean jewelry and all that. What do they call that thing?
It's a jewelry cleaner.
Yeah, jewelry cleaner. That's what we were doing for a while. But then you came on, I guess, not long after that and said it wasn't even necessary.
It's not. In fact, they've done studies on that now. They use that stuff, and it causes such high level of oxidative damage to the materials that you're doing it with.
Oh, good.
That way. So the way we're doing it is real simple. You're using a powder.
Yeah.
It's already broken down. And so when you mix whatever with it, blend it up so that it's mixed with it. Then when you add the water to it, it creates the fat or the lipid that's required to encase it. So it's a very simple way of doing it.
So you just mix it up like in a Vitamixer and you do that?
Anything. Yeah. A Vitamixer, blender, whatever, you know.
And what's the glycine do? I mean the...
It's like a sugar molecule, and it actually sustains or keeps the fat cells stable. So they stay, so the stuff doesn't leak out.
So you could do that with the sodium ascorbate and the sunflower lecithin, right?
Anything. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. And a liposomes it up.
The B vitamins. Let's say you got a liver issue. Phosphorus works for getting stuff in the cells as well. So I may want to take, for instance, NAC, acetylcysteine. I may want to take alpha lipoic acid. I may want to take high doses of vitamin C. I may want to take, I may want to take some rosemary extract or essential oil. I may want to take some sage essential oil, and I may want to put that all together. So now when I'm taking orally this material, 85% of it is going to be taken into the liver. So it's going to be more effective as far as dealing with liver issues. So like I said, there's lots of ways you can do it. You can even make a hydrogel, very similar. Hydrogel basically is jello. So let's say you want to make a hydrogel. You say you don't want to really get into the fat because, you know, it makes your stomach a little queasy or whatever. You don't have enough enzyme to break down the fat. Fine. So get some gelatin. Again, put your stuff in there, blend it up so that the powders are mixed, add your water, blend it up, and then just let it sit in the fridge. And what you've done now is you've created a hydrogel. So now everything's protein-bound in a water solution. So allow your water-soluble vitamins, like your vitamin C, your vitamin B, you can get them in, it gets down, it gets into the lower end, and then when it's released, you get a lot more of it that way as well.
So you're doing like a gelatin with the sunflower and water and just making it more bioavailable.
Yeah. Hmm. Basically, it's a delivery method so that it gets past the stomach so you don't lose 75%.
Wow.
The other way you get, you're gaining 75%, your uptake is 75 to 80%. So with everything you take in the supplement-wise, you lose about, you only get about 25% of the uptake. But when you modify the delivery, whether you're using a baking soda delivery, a carbonation delivery, whether you're using a liposomal or a hydrogel delivery, you get far, far, far more.
And you can get a non-GMO sunflower lecithin powder, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. How about lecithin, sunflower lecithin liquid? Could you use that?
You can do it that way, too. It's just a little bit more difficult to get it to mix.
Yeah, you got to mix it up, right? Yeah.
You got to heat it up a little bit so it's malleable. And then, you're putting it in a blender or a mixer of some kind, and you got it going. And then you add your stuff to it, and then you got to let it cool. We did one that way. Initially, that's what we did at first. We used the liquid until the powder came out. When the powder came out, it says, yes, this is the cat's meow right here. This beats the other. Because the other one, it was very tedious. This one is like 2 minutes, and you've got it done.
Yeah, yeah. George says, I get awakened in the middle of the night by leg cramps. Magnesium chloride applied topically helps, but is there anything that I could take internally to prevent?
I would take a full complement of an electrolyte mix, and I would take white vinegar with it. In other words,
electrolyte, you mean just like the emergency electrolyte mix?
I'm not sure what's in that one anymore. Yeah. The one I'm talking about is the neutrobiotic one. It's a full spectrum electrolyte mixture in there.
Okay.
Potassium, sodium, chloride, magnesium, calcium, and I forget what else is in there. And I would open up one or two capsules of that in water, and I'd add vinegar to it and mix it up so that the acids will, again, help dissolve the minerals. And I might add even a little bit of baking soda with to carbonate it. And as soon as you drink that one, when it's carbonating, feel a direct release in the lower extremities, and you may find you'll sleep better.
So you're actually doing a little, what do they used to call that thing, like a bromo seltzer thing?
That's called carbonation.
Carbonation. So you're doing vinegar and baking soda, and that'll do an eruption of some kind, right?
Yeah, well, you're not using a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, basically what you're doing is the acid. Okay, the best form of calcium anyone can use is called calcium acetate. Basically, it's calcium and vinegar mixed. The acetic acid actually dissolves the calcium very efficiently, very effectively.
Hmm.
And that one you got to be careful with, because after a couple of days your joints can actually hurt because of the calcium overload with it.
Wow.
Now, when you take that same principle with vinegar and you make a magnesium acetate, a potassium acetate, a sodium acetate, zinc, whatever, okay, the acid actually breaks that down for you and dissolves it more readily in the solution. And then when you add the baking soda to it, it carbonates it, so it delivers it almost immediately to the body.
Wow. Pretty exciting, man.
Let's say you were out, you went for a walk, okay, you're walking your dog. So you come back in and all of a sudden you got this cramping going on. You're breathing the aluminum or whatever it's in your area. But the aluminum would have displaced the magnesium. So okay, you can rub it on, but it's not going to be enough because you got to get it into the cell. That's why we use chlorides and use salts. So let's say you make a drink of that mixture right as soon as you get home. And all of a sudden, within about 2 to 3 minutes, you find the cramp is just all but gone.
I'll be done. Okay, a couple more here, then we're going to go. What does Tony think of iodine in a liposomal form? Would that increase the absorption and utilization?
On the cells, it will, yeah. Hmm. You got to remember, the thyroid has its own regulator.
Yeah.
Only so much is going to get in there. So, but every cell in your body has iodine in it. So, sure, that would be another good way of doing it.
Hmm. I've been using the agrocasey iodine on drops on the bottom of my feet.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I don't know why. It feels, I don't know.
You're absorbing it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It feels kind of good. Yeah.
There's more than one way of doing a lot of these things that we're talking about here, you know, and you can modify these things. You can make them far better than what I'm even telling you. You know, all it takes is just a little research and experimentation. You'd be surprised.
Sure, sure.
What you can come up with on your own. I collaborate with a lot of people all over the place, you know, all over the world.
I know you do.
We are always talking formulations or coming up with ideas to, again, block EMFs or coming up with some new triangle, anti-nano device to pull out more nano out of the body. I made a nano chamber. I'm looking at live stream because I'm going to start doing that. And with the live stream, I can do these more regularly so that people can come to the live stream so I can broadcast them out. You can actually interact while I'm showing you what I'm doing, which will solve a lot of repeating the same answer over and over again. And because then everybody will know what I'm doing, and then they can do it, and then they'll know what they're doing.
Yeah, we're going to start live streaming video soon. We're working on that. That's the way to go. So there's actually there's all the technologies there to do it these days, isn't there?
Yeah, so I'm looking at them. Looking at three of them, three programs right now: Livestream, Ustream, and another one.
Livestream, Ustream, Allstream. Isn't there one called Zoom or something? Or
it might be. I don't know.
Have you heard about that one?
Zoom? I'm just looking at it. So any information I can get anybody who's listening to the program.
Yeah.
Of any programs that you think are really good and relatively easy to function, so people can get on and do whatever. Send me an email. I'm more than especially you techies out there that I've helped.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Send them to me, too. Send them to both of us.
Because we'll be more than glad to.
We'll
YouTube is becoming anal. And
I know. They're really getting. Well, you know who? The boys own YouTube, you know.
So, I mean, the live stream is going to be a lot harder. Well, I think it also has a lot to do with AI, because a lot of the content that people are talking about is against artificial intelligence right now, and it is reading this stuff very, very intently. So a lot of people that you're seeing are talking about the more pertinent issues like chemtrails and nanotechnology and synthetic biology and, frequencies and 5G. These are the ones you're going to see start disappearing off of YouTube. So live stream is going to be the alternative to it, which I think is going to be far, far, far better. You don't have to click on links of advertisements that you don't even believe in buying these products. People clicking on, we got a thing with YouTube that if they click on the banner, we make a penny every time somebody clicks on it. So, you know, it doesn't amount to a whole lot of money, but it does bring in some revenue. But with the live stream, you don't have to, you know, I don't have to advertise anything I don't want to. If I don't like a product, I don't have to have it being flagged in front of my my view. So, which I like, because you get that, not only you get the creative control, you get also the monetary control, who you want to advertise and who you don't.
Sure, sure. Final thing here, what about opening a capsule, says Eric, of some kind of a powder, put in a shot glass with a little bit of olive oil, and can you make a liposome that way?
You'd have to fuse it. If you don't fuse it, it's...
Fuse it. How would you fuse it?
Basically, depending on what it is he's doing, but let's say he's using vitamin C.
Yeah.
Okay, so take your oil, put it in a jar, put the jar in a pot of water, and let it simmer. So you heat the oil. So as you're heating the oil, you're stirring it. Okay. Now, I bought a hot plate for that reason, because I make my own fusions of oils. So I got a little stirrer that throws a magnetic stirrer that spins on the bottom. So I will fuse my, either I'll fuse my oils or I'll cook my extracts down till I get to the oil.
Okay.
So this thing will spin, and so as it's spinning, it's stirring the stuff, so it's compounding compacting the molecules in the solution. So as a result, you get a higher concentration of it. So you can cook that right down to a powder, and then you got a super, super, super product. You just got to make sure you don't burn it. But if you do something like that, then yeah, it will fuse in the oil, and then it'll have the effect you're looking for.
I want to make some the rosemary solution, and I did one a couple years ago, and I just want to go over. So I got this rosemary bush in my back that's about to overtake the house, right? So I just take the needles off, and what did I remember that I did? I smushed it up like a sriracha kind of a thing,
okay,
and just put it in agave tequila. Is that what you told me to do?
Yeah, to extract it. Okay, so you do take everything,
yeah,
your stems, everything, leaves,
everything.
Okay, put them in a blender.
Yeah,
mush them up in the alcohol, then
oh, in the alcohol, just mush them up in there.
Just mush them up in a blender for about 10 minutes. Then what you can do,
yeah,
if you want to super concentrate, you got a slow cooker at home?
I do. I got several, yeah, different kinds.
Just get a small slow cooker, put it in, unless you got a hot plate. If you got a hot plate, you can do that with you. But a slow cooker, because most everybody has a slow cooker.
Like a crock pot, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Put on your medium high in the beginning and keep your eye on it.
Yeah.
Starts getting down low, because you're going to simmer that right down. It gets starts getting down low, turn into a medium or low heat, and let it simmer down to it's about an eighth of an inch or quarter of an inch from the bottom, and you'll see it will have concentrated into an oil.
Ooh.
Yeah, so then when you take that and you put it in your container, all you need is a little toothpick amount.
Oh, so you're not having to ferment it over months like I did before this.
Oh, no, this is, I mean, there's so many things you can do with that.
Yeah. But you could also just smush it up, put it in a jar as long as I'm doing it, put that in the cupboard, and then let that sit for a couple months, too.
You could do it that way, too. The blending effect that we've been doing,
mm-hmm.
you seem to be getting the same results whether you let it sit for months or if you blend it for 10 minutes and then strain it.
No kidding. Yeah.
Same thing. So that's what I'm seeing anyway. And again, well, it depends, too. If you're using a Everclear alcohol, which is a higher concentration, the solvent is more penetrating. So, again, you're going to get even a better yield of oil if you want to do it the way I just explained with the crock pot.
Oh, so you're just getting a good supply of the mush. You put it in the bottom of the crock pot and cook it until it starts.
You're blending it up in the Everclear.
Yeah. You're
filtering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now all you got is the liquid. Put that liquid in the crock pot and then just simmer that right down.
Oh, so you're actually getting to a liquid enough. You have enough alcohol so it's liquid and not mushy.
Right.
Yeah.
And once you extract that, once you take the alcohol, you filter out the liquid, when you cook that, the concentration of those properties are off the chart.
I bet. So the oil separates from the water that you're cooking?
The water evaporates. So you're evaporating the water out of the components. So when you get down to the bottom, you're actually got a pharmaceutical grade product there.
Boy, that would be potent, wouldn't it? Wow.
Oh, it'll wake you up in the morning.
Yeah. It's like, boy, there's so many good things going on with the rosemary, isn't there? It's crazy.
The stuff you guys got down there is better than the stuff I'm getting up here. It's more potent.
Well, I can send you some. Send me your address, man.
Yeah, it's more potent. It's exposed to a harsher environment, so it's got a higher antioxidant profile. It protects the liver big time. It protects the brain big time. It supports the heart big time. It's got a little over 13 different antioxidants to it. So, I mean, it is probably one of the go-to ones you want to use. You can you can combine that with the, once you make that extract that you're making,
mm-hmm.
it has to just portion off some of the alcohol and leave it aside. Then if you want to take the same concept with the onion and the essential oil.
Oh, there you go.
You can throw some of that in there with it as well. So like I said, because both the onion and the rosemary will protect the liver. The onion will clean the liver.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, if you'd like, send me your snail mail, and
okay.
I'll send you some of the rosemary, man. It'll be very light. It'll be cheap as anything to send to you.
Stuff down there is, because when I was down in Arizona, the ants wouldn't even go near it.
That's right. Well, this stuff, you know, Tony, I haven't touched this plant in 20 years. Not one thing. Droughts, it doesn't matter. It just keeps going, man.
When I was in Arizona, I saw bushes of this stuff. I couldn't, everywhere you looked, there was bushes of rosemary. And
powerful, man. Pooh.
What else did they have? There was a lot there. Nopal, that was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Grapefruits and orange trees and lemon trees, everywhere there. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You could live, if it wasn't for the chemtrails down there, and you just lived off of what you could harvest around you. I mean, they had olive trees everywhere, except they were spraying this melatonin on the olive trees because some of these people had this insane idea that because the olives would hit the concrete and stain the concrete, they wanted to...
Oh, great.
I'd really leave the bloody thing alone. The olive alone would keep you alive.
You could live on an olive tree forever. What part of Arizona were you in?
I was in Phoenix.
Oh, really? Phoenix, huh?
It was a good experience. I really liked Phoenix. I met a lot of good people down there. I met a lot of activists down there, and we just clicked on really well with my herbal and alternative background. So
yeah,
I fit right in. And when I was there, I was so impressed with the people I met there. Incredibly, whatever like here, basically very, very moderate, very easygoing, you know,
mm-hmm.
Considering all the nonsense that everyone was having to deal with down there. But it was a very good experience. Seeing the red ants walking around and clustering, and then you get to the rosemary and you see them detour, like, okay.
Okay. Here's a final email. It says, couldn't Patrick add a little bit of DMSO to that blended rosemary and make it more absorbable?
Yeah, you can do that. There's more than one way. Sure, you can even do that with the onion.
With the onion thing, right? A little DMSO.
Yeah, but if you're going to add the DMSO, I'm going to tell you, dilute it down to a 5% solution because you don't want that to go into your brain and break down your brain. So a 5% solution is very simple. A teaspoon of DMSO to about 95 mils or 100 mils of distilled water, RO water. Dissolve it or stir it in there so that it blends. Then use it in your mixes because you don't want – and that will be more than enough to transfer it anywhere you want to go.
Okay, 1 teaspoon of DMSO. 90 milliliter, you guys up there, it's a like close to an ounce. Pretty close, isn't it?
That's closer to 3 ounces. When you're doing everything in
wait a minute,
mils,
is 1 milliliter 3 ounces?
No, 5 mils is a teaspoon. Okay.
Well, what's the conversion of milliliter to ounces?
Close. 100 mils is a little over 3 ounces. 5 mils would be like I said, 5 milligrams. You know, a teaspoon of 5 mils and 5 milligrams is the same. So, when you're looking at doing everything, if you do everything in tens, which you can do very easily with metric, you'll get a very close. Very, very close accuracy to what you're doing. So take a teaspoon, which is 5 mils, and just measure just a little bit over 3 ounces of water, and you can go look up the actual measurements, not that much over 3 ounces, and mix the two together, then you're getting a 5% solution.
Oh, I see. I got a little conversion chart here. Let me do it. 95 milliliters. Yeah, you're right. It's 3.2 ounces.
Yeah. So and then just add a teaspoon to the other.
Oh, so then 3.2 ounces volume, by ounces by volume, right?
Yeah.
And then to 1 teaspoon of the DMSO, and that'll give you that solution. Because stronger than that, it could hurt your brain?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're taking a full-strength DMSO, as long as it's below the waist, you can use it full strength. Below the chest, right. Yes, you run the risk of it because it absorbs so rapidly, it goes into the brain, starts breaking brain down. So you want to keep it on the safe side.
Yeah, and with you and I, our brains are pretty broken down anyway, so we got to watch, right?
No, I think our brains are probably better.
No, I'm just kidding.
I think are more intact than the generation that's...
I totally agree with you. My brain's fine. Thank you very much. Tony P., it's always a pleasure. All right, good job. We didn't get into too much trouble. Once again, next month, let's kind of see if we can hook up.
You know,
because it happens every month. So let's see if we can start on time next month.
Well, last month was my fault. I overslept. Well, we were on time last month. I was just a week late.
That's right. You were just a week late. All right, kiddo. Thanks for your work. We appreciate it.
One more thing. I forgot. I'm going to be in Merritt, B.C. on the 19th at the Legion at 1 o'clock. For more information, send me an email if you're going to be in the area. We're going to be doing a whole thing on health and covering a variety of different...
Oh, cool. Okay, tell us where Merritt, B.C. is.
Merritt, B.C. is between Kamloops and Kelowna, B.C., so I'm going to be in that region for Sunday. I'm going to be there.
What
doing
date?
This Sunday?
This Sunday?
Yeah, this Sunday coming, so
uh-huh.
Forgot to mention that earlier. I was going to tell you about it, but we got caught up.
That's all right. So if somebody would like to go and know more about it, they can just, what's your email address?
The gal named Terry Taylor, I can give you her phone number so you can make connections with her to let her know you're coming. Sounds like it's going to be a good event. She's got a lot of people coming to it. So again, if you're in the area or you want to come up and say hi, feel free to do so.
And then how would they contact you, or do you want to go to call her? What do you want to do?
Contact me because I don't have the information in front of me right now because I had problems with this computer this morning. Independs@yahoo.com. Send me an email, and then from there I'll forward you her information that you can get a hold of.
What fun! So it's INDPENDZ, right?
At yahoo.com,
and it's going to be Sunday in Merritt, B.C.
1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock, Tony Pantelaresco on stage. Be there or be square.
There we go. See, you know the rhyme.
Thanks. I'll see you.
All right,
brother. Thanks a lot. It's always fun. We'll see you tomorrow. We got a great show for you, including, have you ever thought about not fasting, dry fasting? I mean, no food, no water, nothing? Check it out.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.